Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by simply acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, great God, we come before you at this time thanking you for this and other opportunity to gather together. We thank you for your provision for us in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he resolved the issues that you had with the fall of mankind and redeemed us from the slave market of sin and satisfied your perfect integrity and righteousness and justice, as well as he did that, pioneering the spiritual life that you've subsequently provided for us to live. We thank you for the empowerment by means of the Spirit and the Word of God that enables that to be possible. And as we study tonight, we ask that the information conveyed would be understood and then recalled to mind as we face the opportunity to actually deploy that power in our lives. And we ask this thanking you now in Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing here in our study of prayer as part of the pre-designed plan or predestination. And we're doing this for the purpose of determining just how and what we should pray for. And at the moment, we're examining Paul's prayers and have seen that the major focus in his prayers has been for them to appropriate by grace the spiritual resources that God's provided in advance in his plan for their lives. And in this segment, we've been examining Paul and Timothy's prayer in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. And we'll probably complete this tonight and start in on the next segment on a different prayer that comes later on in Ephesians, I believe, where Paul is praying for the believer's spiritual growth. And this passage goes as follows. Because of this, since the day we heard of Epaphras' report, we have not stopped praying for you and asking that you would be completely filled up with the knowledge of God the Father's intent in the sphere of wisdom and spiritual understanding. And, of course, this is all about the believer receiving the capacity from God through the spiritual life by appropriating Bible doctrine under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, via the grace apparatus for spiritual perception. Of course, that's the enabling power of God that provides equal privilege and equal opportunity in the spiritual life. And they're to advance in this to the end that you would conduct yourselves with conduct to becoming the Lord, to please Him completely, but while being prolific by divinely good activities, growing in the knowledge of God. And of course, that's the production of the believer, or the production actually that God works in the believer as they advance in His plan with positive volition. Because of the omnipotence empowering you in accordance with the power of God's glory for the maximum perseverance and patience accompanied by joy. And of course, this is the spiritual life in action as the believer applies the doctrine to the various opportunities that God presents for them to actually participate in the Lord's sufferings. And, of course, Paul had some unique sufferings associated with his ministry, being the apostle to the church. But nonetheless, believers have the same privilege to participate with Christ in his sufferings. And, of course, we recognize other scriptures point to the fact that if we suffer with him, we will reign. And that reigning is in that perfect place that God has already determined that the believer would function in, provided they advance in the plan that he has provided for them to advance in. Constantly being thankful to the Father who has qualified us for the share of the assigned inheritance of the saints by means of the light. And we've actually looked at almost all of these words. We're going to finish up here with qualified. We looked at the components of the 40 things conveyed to the believer at salvation that related to their qualification over the last few times. And tonight we're going to finish up this inheritance part and look at the issue of by means of the light. The word translated qualified is the aorist active participle of the Greek word hakono and means to make confident for or to qualify one for or to be sufficient or adequate for. And we've seen how God qualifies the believer at the point of their salvation through their position and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course that was where we spent some time looking at the believer's positional reality at the point of their salvation by grace and through faith alone. And, of course, the believers then mandated or instructed to, again, according to their volition, God says, yes, this is what I put you in this position of strength, therefore go and walk in it. And, of course, the believer has the opportunity to do that or not, because God is a gentleman in all cases. But if a believer does, then they actually take advantage of the provision God's made and begin to appropriate what God has done for them. And, of course, this is parlaying your position in union with Christ into your experience in the omnipotence of God through the power of God. This position that's associated with this qualification is in light or by means of light. Believers are children of light, per Ephesians 5:8. And one must be a child of light in order to conduct their life as a child of light. So that means this is only for believers. It's impossible for an unbeliever to function in this power sphere. And it's a accoutrement and an opportunity that's presented to each of the royal family of God. God rescued believers out of darkness at the moment of their salvation by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, and transferred the sphere, and were transferred to the sphere of His beloved Son, per Colossians 1:13, where it says He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, and of course it goes on to say how that was accomplished, by whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, that was the necessary aspect of the work of the Lord on the cross that enabled the believer to have the righteousness of God, and thereby is therefore qualified to have a relationship with God in the plan of God. In Acts 26, we have another passage to this, and it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. This is the case of the unbeliever. From the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And so, in essence, this transition occurs by God the Holy Spirit working in the believer's soul in common grace. And as they exhibit positive volition to the message, then that becomes efficacious grace. And then at that point, they become one part of the family, and they're functional then in the integrity of God through logistical grace and given all the assets necessary for them to advance to the greater grace privileges associated with the spiritual life. And Paul goes on to say here, So King Agrippa, I did not approve disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept on declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, so that they should repent, that's our metanoeo, change of thinking, and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to that change of thinking decision. And of course, indeed, the repentance is simply a matter of changing one's thinking about what it's necessary to have a relationship with God. And of course, the only way one can have a relationship with God is by grace and through faith alone, because it's Jesus Christ who had all the merits that were associated with that relationship. So a discussion of the believer in light occurs in this Ephesians 5 passage. An expanded translation of Ephesians 5:8 and 9 would go like this. For you were formerly darkness, the word skotos in the Greek, refers to one's previous unregenerate status in the slave market of sin. But now you are light in the Lord, the word phos, which is union with Christ as a new spiritual species. Walk, the Greek word peripateo that we see often, which is a lifestyle produced by behavior, patterns, and character traits, as children of light, analogy for the momentum of the spiritual life inside the predesigned plan of God. So that's the believer's position, or transfer, actually, from the darkness to the light, by means of grace through faith alone. In verse 9, we have, because the fruit of light, this is our word karpos plus phos, the Greek karpos is fruit, phos light, production in the Christian walk from the source of divine viewpoint under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, is produced. This passage is an ellipsis and the verb is missing. So is produced is actually not in the original. And you'll see in the New American Standard it says consists, which is similar. But it's basically has to do with producing, or you could actually use is, or some other word according to, that ties the two pieces together. Anyways, it's an ellipsis. We've talked about Paul using the form of ellipsis form for emphasis, and he actually leaves the verb out for that emphasis. So it's added. We can add it in here to add clarity if we choose to. So is produced. This passage in ellipsis, the verb is missing. Is produced is added for clarity. In the sphere of goodness, that's agathos or divine good, that which is profitable, beneficial, virtuous, the fulfillment of the plan of God. So it's the product of the believer functioning in the spiritual life in the predesigned plan of God. And the sphere of righteousness or dikaios, referring to the integrity of God and the believer's capacity from the application of Bible doctrine. So we have positional righteousness at the point of salvation by grace through faith alone. But then we actually have capacity worked in us through the Word as we actually begin to apply it under the mentor ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's the same righteousness that God has. And so the believer is on a par with God, not by anything that they have done, but by simply receiving the grace that he conveys to them through the spiritual life, initially through their salvation, and then subsequently through doctrine under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. In the sphere of truth, the word aletheia, that is doctrine in the believer's stream of consciousness. So this is the believer living in light, that is the power system that God has provided for them in the predesigned plan of God. Divine good production is the fruit that results from continuing in the spiritual advance all the way to spiritual maturity. Goodness or divine good, which is the fulfillment of the predesigned plan of God, is associated with the means of achieving that objective. And so we actually produce, or the believer, God produces in the believer. We have to understand the vine in the branches perspective when we look at this, and I think I have some notes on that here shortly, recognizing that the vine is producing the fruit, the branch is simply holding it. But the branch, of course, is having positive volition to actually have the vine work in it to the objective of producing the fruit. Righteousness is a component of the integrity of God, which is built in the believer as capacity from the application of Bible doctrine, and truth, which refers to epinosis, or spirit-taught doctrine in the believer's soul. So these are the power, and when you think about it, this is the production, it's a function of the Word of God in the stream of consciousness, under the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit. All this is accomplished within the environment of light or spiritual enlightenment under the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit that promotes spiritual growth. So it's God working in us both to will and to work of this His good pleasure per Philippians 2:12 and 13, and we recognize that God actually the spiritual life actually causes us to have greater desire for it as we function in it. So it's actually an empowering system that adds power as the believer functions in that sphere. The purpose for natural light was established in Genesis 1:14, to divide the day from the night, to designate signs and seasons and days and years, and it's also for photosynthesis. So God, this is in the recreation when God set the earth back on its axis and set it up so that it was no longer tohu wa bohu, or the destruction that had occurred or accrued to it based on the rebellion of Satan, as per Genesis 1. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And so that was the purpose for the light, as God would set things up. And of course, initially, the signs and the seasons were all related to the ritual plan of God for Israel. They actually had a lunar calendar that they utilized for the ritual services that they functioned under. In the spiritual life, light speaks of the status quo of spirituality made possible through acknowledging known sin and executed by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we basically can make a comparison between natural light and the spiritual life. Of course, the different sources, of course, but there's a similar function as we're going to see here. The three spiritual skills enable the believer to grow in grace and accommodate truth to the stream of consciousness. And the three spiritual skills are, in a way of a reminder, the filling of the Holy Spirit is the first spiritual skill and is also the first power option in the believer's spiritual life. Without the filling of the Spirit, the believer does not have the power to live in the Christian way of life. It is the filling of the Spirit that converts human IQ into spiritual IQ so that we have a quality to learn spiritual phenomena. The spiritual IQ provided by our mentor is equal opportunity under divine control of the spiritual birth and the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit. So this is why believers have equal privilege and equal opportunity regardless of their natural IQ, because it's God working in them through the human spirit that they received at salvation that actually provides them with the capacity to understand Bible doctrine. And since God has perfect equality, and the only place perfect equality lives is within the body of Christ, in the church age right now, as the believer has the opportunity to advance, then God is the one who makes it all possible. So everybody has equal privilege and equal opportunity. This God-given equality is based on at least 40 benefits that were received at salvation. Of course, that's part of the down payment that the believer receives at the point of faith alone in Christ alone. The second spiritual skill, which is also the second power option, is the metabolized Bible doctrine circulating in the believer's stream of consciousness through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is in a way of a review. The more the believer learns doctrine, the more doctrine will be circulating in their stream of consciousness, which has seven compartments: the frame of reference, the memory center, vocabulary storage, categorical storage, the conscience, the momentum department, and the wisdom department. So this is where the doctrine actually fills. When you're filled with the thinking of Christ, this is what's being filled. And these are aspects of the soul and how the and where the believer actually makes, actually not just the believer, but where the human beings actually make decisions and make evaluate what's going on. And of course, in the case of believer, this is where the doctrinal information is actually understood and then put together in the proper form so that it can be properly applied. And additional information can also be added as it is presented. The third spiritual skill is the problem-solving devices deployed in the soul. From the combination of the first two power options comes the execution of the pre-designed plan of God, beginning with the deployment of problem-solving devices in the soul. A believer can then meet any situation in life and solve any problems in the privacy of their own soul through their own personal application of Bible doctrine under the mentor ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the privacy of their own personal priesthood. And of course, that's the end game. That's what God has for us. We're to be independent creatures who are have oriented to Him and His plan, and we're able to personally apply the Word ourselves for our own selves and make the proper evaluation, because it's only from our own inventory of doctrine that we can make the proper application given the situation we're at. And we've discussed that in the past. This advance in the awareness of what God has done for the believer motivates the believer to want to learn more about God. So the more one understands this, the more we want to know about it. It actually creates its own desire, and the system is self-empowering based on that. And the principle here is found in 1 John 4:19, where we have, "We love because He first loved us." Of course, as the believer comes to recognize what God has done, they need to appreciate that and actually see it work in their lives as they apply the doctrine in faith rest or occupation with Christ or, you know, acknowledging of sin or whatever particular problem-solving device is being deployed, and you see that it functions and works, then you have a greater and greater desire to actually implement the plan that God has provided. The end result is spiritual maturity, described by the Greek word pleroma, which is fullness, which means fullness of blessing from God, which is the fulfillment of the plan of God for the believer's life, which occurs to the maximum when the believer is in spiritual maturity, with its cognitive invincibility derived from maximum metabolized doctrine in the believer's thinking. And of course, that was Paul's thinking in Philippians 4, as we've seen, where it says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And we understand that from the present tenses here, "I can keep on doing all things through Him who keeps on strengthening me." And of course, that's the principle of the linear action regarding the present tense. And it's Paul recognizing the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in his soul to provide everything he needs to solve every problem that he faces. The concept of the believer's spiritual growth in light can be compared to the process of natural growth of plants through the process called photosynthesis, which occurs in light, natural light. Green plants, using the process of photosynthesis, take, and we're going to make a couple of comparisons as we go down through here, and look at how there's a parallel between natural light and the process that a plant might utilize to take the resources available to it and create food and oxygen, as we'll see, as well as for the believer. And it's interesting that there's also a similar activity of keeping life on the planet. So, and we'll see how that parallels as well. Light energy, which corresponds to the filling of the Holy Spirit plus spiritual IQ from the human spirit, that is the grace apparatus for spiritual perception in the believer. So we have light energy in one side, that's natural, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the system of grace that God has provided for the believer in the spiritual life on the parallel, is used to convert through photosynthesis, corresponding to the mentorship of the Holy Spirit in the believer. So photosynthesis is a conversion process. And of course, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He converts, He makes it possible for us to understand. Water, which corresponds to Bible doctrine in the believer's soul. In fact, there's Bible, water, doctrine is often referred to as water in the Bible. carbon dioxide, which corresponds to the believer's volitional decision to reject the lie of the cosmos, and minerals, which correspond to the believer's motivation from reciprocal love for God. So we take these three parallels, and these three or four parallels and tie them together, into oxygen, which corresponds to maximum doctrine in the believer's thinking. So in essence, we have the oxygen being necessary for animal life and the continuance of animal life on the planet, and in the case of doctrine in the believer's thinking, necessary for regular life continuing on the planet, all life actually, as we'll see. Without photosynthesis, which corresponds to spiritual growth, the Earth's atmosphere would be depleted of oxygen, which corresponds to divine viewpoint thinking. So we have the two end games, oxygen in one case and divine viewpoint thinking in the other. All living cells convert food into energy and structural components necessary for life, which is compared to the grace apparatus for spiritual perception. If plant photosynthesis were to stop, correspondingly to the spiritual advance of positive believers, most living things would disappear from the earth in a few years, which is also true spiritually as confirmed by the events of the tribulation, which is and why it must be shortened, per Matthew 24:22. You see, during the tribulation, remember, at the beginning of the tribulation, all believers are resurrected off the planet. And so we start the tribulation with only unbelievers. And of course, this very short period of time before a whole lot of Jewish people are believers, because we have the 144,000, the innumerable multitude. And there are many people who become believers in that time. But the pressure on people is so severe that it's very difficult to advance into spiritual life. So it actually gets to the point where the cosmic system begins to overwhelm the people. And apart from the shortening of the time, you know, the whole earth would be destroyed. In Matthew 24, the Lord himself spoke to this. He says in verse 22, "Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." So Israel has seven more years coming to them in their plan, but it'll be slightly shortened because of the fact that the evil, as it progresses through the tribulation, will get to the point where the whole, all humanity would be wiped off the earth if the Lord Jesus Christ did not interject himself and prevent it from occurring. And of course, he does that for the sake of the elect, the believers. So everyone is the beneficiary of his interjection of himself. And of course, we understand that occurs as the nations are surrounding Jerusalem and attempting to take the Israelites or the Jews off the planet. Of course, that's something God can't permit either. So he actually interjects himself and stops it. But the principle here is that in the same way that if plants were removed from the planet, it would be a slow death. The earth, the living things on the earth would ultimately die because of the relationship between animals and plants and providing the necessary input for both of their metabolistic systems. Then we have, in the case of the spiritual advance of believers, once they are stopped or slowed down significantly enough, we reach the point where the system will also stop and be destroyed. So in essence, this is another principle of as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. As goes the advancing believer, so goes the world. This shows how the believer is the mechanism whereby God funnels grace into the cosmos, and you're the channel of grace. And we've talked about that in the past. And this is how blessing by association works. So in essence, when there's not enough blessing by association, ultimately the thing falls apart. And indeed, that is what happens and why the Lord himself comes back and shortens the tribulation, that 7 years. The light of the application of Bible doctrine is converted into long-term memory traces, which result in the believer functioning in the paths of righteousness. So in essence, as the believer continues to function in doctrine, they have, this is what's called momentum. And momentum towards the plan of God creates greater momentum. And David spoke of this in Psalms 23, where we have, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So this is God working in the believer to lead them to make the right decisions. This is the mentor ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the word here for paths in the past, and it actually relates to wheel tracks because of the fact that in the day that the Bible was written, they had chariots and animal-pulled machines And as a result of the machines driving down the paths, the wheels would dig in over a period of time and actually create ditches that would tend to keep them in that path. And this is what David's referring to. So as the believer functions in the spiritual life, they tend to stay within the spiritual life. Of course, that can be positive or negative. You know, we understand the idea of the opposite is true as well. A person who does not function in the spiritual life and utilizes the arrogant skills will similarly have a tendency to persist in that, which is why it's not simply sufficient for someone in that situation to simply acknowledge their sin. They not only have to acknowledge the sin, but they then have to go under a serious study of the Word so that they can begin to understand what they're supposed to do. And that's, of course, what the word metanoeo means, or to repent means. It means to change your thinking, which doesn't really have anything to do with baggage associated with what you're doing per se, other than the fact that you really need to learn what you need to do. So you have to replace the wrong things with the right things. And of course, the right thing ultimately, as in our context here, is the light from the Word of God. Just as plants produce fruit from light, so does a believer who advances in the spiritual growth by means of the light. The fruit produced in the believer is divine good and is characterized by maximum glorification of God and occupation with the person of light. So let's go back and look at our Ephesians 5:9 passage again. Because of the fruit of light, this is karpos plus phos, the production in the Christian walk from the source of divine viewpoint under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, is produced. This passage is an ellipsis, again with the verb missing, and is produced as added for clarity. In the sphere of goodness, agathos, or divine good, which is profitable, beneficial, virtuous, and the fulfillment of the plan of God, in the sphere of righteousness, or dikaios, referring to the integrity of God and capacity righteous from Bible doctrine in the believer, in the soul of the believer, and the sphere of truth, aletheia, that is doctrine in the believer's stream of consciousness. And in the next verse, Ephesians 5:10, we have in this translation, the New American Standard actually doesn't quite get it done. It says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's really not what is meant by the word. The King James actually has it better. It actually says prove, which is what we want to, what it says. And we're going to see another verse that says to that. It says proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what the King James says. And so does the Young's Literal and a few others. So about 50% of the translations have this particular passage accurate. And this is one of the cases where the New American Standard doesn't quite get it. So the King James is a better translation. Proving or demonstrating what is acceptable to the Lord is what it should be pronounced or described as. So in essence, the believer advances into spiritual maturity. He begins to demonstrate what is pleasing to the Lord. The demonstration has to do with the production of the fruit described in verse 9. The word translating, trying to prove in the New American Standard, or proving in the King James, is a present active indicative of the Greek word dokimazo, which means to approve after examination and trial, to examine critically, to examine with a view towards making an evaluation of the quality, character, worth, or significance of something. The same word is used in Romans 12:2, and where it is translated in the New American Standard as prove. If we look at that, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And it's interesting that the context or the discussion is similar. So in essence, here we have the transformation process that is then implemented within the believer's soul through their metabolization of Bible doctrine, and then as they function in that system, it demonstrates or proves what is good and acceptable and perfect, which is exactly what we're discussing. This is where the idea of proving one's salvation by showing your fruits is a heresy, revealed as a heresy, which is a heresy that some believe. Spiritual fruit or production is the result of spiritual growth. Once spiritual maturity is attained, then the believer, with positive volition, automatically demonstrates what is acceptable to the Lord. So in essence, as the believer advances, the production is automatic as long as they persist in positive volition, which means applying the spiritual life, living in the plan of God through the problem-solving devices. No demonstration is possible without spiritual growth, and no spiritual growth is possible without salvation. So one cannot demonstrate this, and one does not use this as a means of, as a litmus test. It's an automatic production within the believer by God. The present tense is, with the indicative mood, indicates that the action of demonstrating what is pleasing to the Lord occurs simultaneously with the action of the main verb. And the main verb we saw in verse 9 is the verb added by the ellipsis, which defines the qualities produced by the light. So in essence, this production or demonstration occurs as those qualities in the light are produced in the believer. So we've established that the fruit of light is the divine viewpoint of the adult spiritual life. Mature believers produce this fruit by having thoughts, making decisions, and taking actions based on their maximum knowledge of truth. A right thing done in a right way for the right reason at the right time. That's the definition of what we call good or divine good or truth. In the process, they simultaneously demonstrate that which is pleasing to the Lord. So the two things happen simultaneously as the believer functions in the application of Bible doctrine. The active voice indicates that the fruit of divine good produces the action by demonstrating acceptable behavior patterns and character traits from a lifestyle based on consistent application of Bible doctrine. The indicative mood simply states that this is a statement of fact. It's not really the mature believer themselves that demonstrates what's pleasing to the Lord. Instead, it's God, the Holy Spirit, working with the Bible doctrine in the believer, in the believer's positive volition that produces the fruit of divine viewpoint thinking and provides the demonstration. We've got to remember always that the believer is the object of grace, and merely as the idea of the vine and the branches, which I'm just speaking of next here, the branch simply holds the fruit that the vine produces. And that's the idea. Believers are the branch. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and the production comes from the vine. The branch simply holds the fruit. So what's required of the branch is simply positive volition. Positive volition to persist in the light, in other words, that is in the plan of God, where the recipients of the provisions of God would have them to have. The subject of the main verb in verse 9 is the fruit of light and represents divine viewpoint. Thus, the fruit produced is described as goodness, the believer's fulfilling of the plan of God, and the advance to pleroma, or the fullness of God, righteousness, which is motivated by reciprocal love for God, and truth, the believer's advance by their perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine. Light or spirituality is the environment in which divine viewpoint is produced and includes the filling of the Holy Spirit and his mentorship through the grace apparatus for spiritual perception. Of course, we recognize that's the human spirit received at salvation plus the work of God, the Holy Spirit, as he teaches the human spirit, as we've discussed, and as which has been referred to as Operation Z. You know, that's whereby the believer is taught the human spirit, or the believer's human spirit is taught. The Holy Spirit makes it understandable. The believer believes it, and then it becomes available to the believer to be utilized in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the grace apparatus, or part of that grace apparatus that in that system. The mature believer, by means of grace, produces the fruit of light under the enabling power of God, the Holy Spirit. Of course, you have to always remember that the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary in this process. Divine viewpoint expressed in the sphere of light becomes a demonstration of those things that are pleasing to the Lord. So, looking at our verse here, because of this, our back to our Colossians 1 passage, which is our context where we're going to finish up. Because of this, since the day we heard of Epaphras' report, we have not stopped praying for you, asking that you would be completely filled up with the knowledge of God, the Father's intent in the sphere of wisdom and spiritual understanding, to the end that you would conduct yourselves with conduct becoming the Lord, to please him completely while being prolific by divinely good activities and growing in the knowledge of God. Because of the omnipotence empowering you in accordance with the power of God's glory for the maximum perseverance and patience accompanied by joy, constantly being thankful to the Father who has qualified us for the share of the assigned inheritance of the saints by means of the light. So we'll pick up on our next topic next time. Father, our great God, we thank you for this opportunity to get together to study your word, for your provision by means of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to have a relationship with you that we can even have the opportunity to be taught, and for the work of the Holy Spirit as we learn this information. We ask that as we go forth from here this evening that you would help us to recall the information as we face the challenges that come our way, and bring us back safely next time. And we ask this now in Jesus' name, amen.